John chapter 13, we'll begin at verse 31, and just try to give you a little bit of, I guess, of review about where we're at. You know, Jesus, this is his last night before he's going to go to trial, and he has his disciples go, and they get a room for him, and they're in the upper room, and he's doing the Passover. He's doing the Passover with his disciples, and he washes their feet, and he's teaching them a couple of things. And you know, that the disciples, they had this issue going on where sometimes they would get into discussion about, well, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And you know, well, you know, I can see John, you know, well, Jesus, he has me with him every time. I went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, Peter's like, well, I was there too. And then these other guys, they're like, well, we just because we weren't there, you know, and they just kind of had a power struggle within them. And, you know, we see that sometimes amongst us, amongst churches, that there tends to be a type of power struggle. And Jesus said that it's not supposed to be like that. You're not supposed to be looking at yourself as better than any other person. And then he shows them and he washes their feet. And he says, if the God who's come down in the flesh, manifest in the flesh, would be willing to wash your feet, to lower himself to this position of servanthood. You see, not just any servant would wash someone else's feet. It's the slave servant that would. And Jesus lowered himself down to that because there was something that needed to be done. It was part of their custom. But can you imagine, you've been walking around on their dirt roads all the time and your feet are just looking nasty, that when you go into somebody's house, you know, it's kind of rude to go in their house. They got a nice clean house and your feet, you know, you've been wading through mud. You know, I've had issues, you know, the kids and I, we've had this conversation before when they're running around playing outside, and you know, when they come in, their feet look like pieces of charcoal. I don't want them running all over my carpet. It costs a lot of money for that. Go wash your feet. And some of y'all can't relate, right? You're like, no, you don't. Those things, your shoes are cleaner than your feet. You gotta wash. Well, that's how it was. And Jesus, he toweled up and he got the basin and he washed their feet. And he was teaching them something about being willing to lower yourself. I mean, Jesus is the one. He's healed. He's healed people. He's made the blind see. He's raised the dead. The disciples done nothing like that. Yet they're like, no, I'm not going to be the one who does that. Jesus says, I'll be the one who does it. I'll be the one who humbles himself to that point to take care of the worst needed thing. And you know, we struggle with that. We have too much pride in ourselves, and it prevents us from being able to do what Jesus' greatest command was for his servants. And that's to love each other. Not just love each other like, you know, it's good to see you, but love each other like a family. So Jesus is trying to help them understand this. And if you look with me in verse 31, I'm just going to read all this to try to give you kind of the whole context of what's going on here. Because Jesus is going to tell them, I'm going to go somewhere. You can't go. But while I'm gone, you've got a job to do. And this is, of all the things that I'm going to have you do, this is going to be the greatest. So let's see what Jesus says. He says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said unto them, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. See, Judas has just left. He's going to get the scribes and the Pharisees and the little army that they're going to bring back to take Jesus. Judas is just gone for that. Jesus says, he's gone out. The Son of God is glorified. It's going to happen. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to ask you to just help us to see your word in this scripture, that you give us the insight. As I thought on these scriptures this week, it began to become harder and harder for me to really understand the message that I'm going to give to your people. So I absolutely need your help. I need your grace and your mercy to be on those that are here and upon me also. That we can see, that you'll give us eyes to see the way that you see things. That you'll give us the ears to hear the words that you're saying to us. That you'll give us the courage to live the life that you would have us to live. Help us to gain a better understanding of what it means to love each other the way that you have commanded us here in this passage. Show us your ways. Teach us your paths. Guide me in this message, and let your Holy Spirit go before and talk to your people for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So when I read verse 35, I had this, sometimes when I'm reading the scriptures, I bring a question up to my mind. I guess it helps me to understand what it is that I want to gain from the passage. Do you do that whenever you read the Bible? Do you ask yourself, look for questions in there and be able to try an application? Maybe you don't. Maybe you just kind of read through it. But I try to pause sometimes and I try to ask a question. What is this passage saying to me? If I was gonna try to teach it, how would I teach something like this? How do I teach myself? And in verse 35, I see this question. How does the world know that you're a disciple of Christ? Basically, what he's saying is, how does the world know that you're a Christian? Have you ever asked that question of yourself? When you're walking down the street, how can I show this world that I'm a Christian? How can I witness to these people? How can I effectively minister to these? I want to share with them Christ. How do I do that? Do I pull up an old milk crate? Some of y'all remember milk crates, right? I don't think my kids know what those are. You stand up on it, you make yourself a little bit taller, and you just start preaching. Is that what we're supposed to do? Are we supposed to just stand up on a platform, like this, and start preaching about hell or heaven or whatever? Is that what we're supposed to do? That's not what Jesus says right here. Now, those are important things to know about, but that doesn't answer the question. How does the world know that you're a Christian? How could the world even tell if you were a disciple? Does it bother you? Does that question ever come to you? Verse 34, it tells us, it says, if you have love one for another. good job. Because I don't know how to do it myself. But it's in God's Word. I can't just skip over it because I don't completely understand it. So this may be something that we just have to learn together. Because I'm going to show you what the Scripture says about how we're supposed to love each other. And I can just about bet you can go to any church in our association and they're not doing it right. We're failing at God's commandment. The commandment to love one another as Jesus says, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Because as I'm talking to God about this, more questions start coming to my mind. I'm like, God, how do you preach? How do you preach something that you don't understand? What does that even look like? Do you know what that looks like? That the whole assembly that gets together, that they know what love looks like. You know, in our culture, love looks like pizza. Because they love pizza. You know how I know? There's more pizza places in Jonesboro than just about anything else. They love Mexican food. You know how I know? There's as many Mexican places to eat as there is churches to go to. You see, we don't understand love. They may love to go to church because it gives them something to do, or maybe they like the fellowship. But when you really love somebody, that means that they're on your heart and your mind often. You know, when God speaks in the psalm, He said that I can't even understand how much His thinking is of me. It's often. It's all the time. It's more than the hairs on our head. It's often. All the time. And Jesus says, that's how much I want you to love each other. Like I love you. What does that even look like? I can't describe something that I don't think I've ever seen. I mean, you guys, y'all love me, I know. And I know you love each other. But do you love each other like this? I've been to a lot of churches. And I'd say y'all are probably one of the best. But there's still room to grow. But I've been to some churches that they didn't even know I was there. They didn't even care if I was there. I had a pastor come up to me one time. He's like, I didn't even think you would come back. That's how much he thought about me. Because I was looking for a church. He's like, I didn't even think that you'd come back. And I'm like, do you love people? Do you love people that say that they love Jesus? What's going on in our American Christianity? I'll tell you what's going on. We're failing. We're failing to love each other the way Jesus commanded us to here. Look with me in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. We're not supposed to seek to avenge ourselves to get back. We're not supposed to hold a grudge. You know, sometimes things happen. Whenever you get a group of people together, somebody's going to say something that's going to hurt your feelings. Somebody's going to do something that you're not going to like. Do you hold a grudge? Or would you want to be Would you want to? Will you forgive them like you would want to be forgiven? Because a lot of times people do things they don't even know. They don't even know they did it. You know, if you're trying to do something, you're going to make a mistake. If you try to do something and you don't do it the way some other person thinks it should be done, you don't know that you're bothering them. You're just trying. Yeah, we can have offenses come up so easily. Why would an offense come up like that? It's because we don't love each other the way that we need to. That would mean that, well, I really don't love that person the way that I should, the way that Jesus has commanded me to. And we struggle. And that's how the world knows that we're a Christian. That's how the world knows if I'm a disciple. We don't seek paybacks or revenge. We don't hold grudges. But as the Scripture says, I'll be forgiving. I'll forgive others. I'll seek their best over myself. That's what Jesus tells us to do. That's what He showed whenever He's washing the disciples' feet. He's like, let me show you how the last is actually the first, and the first is last. The person who's the first, he humbles himself. He becomes the servant. He gives them the benefit of the doubt. A church that could do that effectively, just with the people that we have, everybody would want to be a part of that. Because it doesn't matter where you go, they want to be a part of that group. You know, one of the things whenever I was in the military, and you'll see this with just about every branch, is that they when they come back, it doesn't matter how difficult it is, how bad it is, those people that you're around, you feel like family. Some of you have been in. You feel like those guys that I'm working with, you feel like family. That it doesn't matter what I do, how often I make mistakes, they want to get me to the point where I don't make the mistakes anymore, and they're going to forgive me unless I'm just totally trying to do bad. They are going to try to help me do good because they care about my well-being. In fact, they care about me because I'm supposed to be caring about them. We're supposed to be watching each other's back. And we feel like family. You know, if the military didn't have that, they would struggle to keep people in because life is hard. The Christian life is not easy. It's hard. And Jesus has given us the secret. Love each other. And it shouldn't even be hard. You know, if the Holy Spirit's inside of us, the Holy Spirit wants to love other people. The Holy Spirit wants to reach out. And those that are struggling and wants to help them to get better. That's what the Holy Spirit wants. The Holy Spirit inside of me would say, when I'm struggling, I want to reach out for someone's help. And if that hand comes out, which it should come out, would help pull me up out of that miry clay. That's what the love of God does for a group of people. This new commandment that Jesus gives, that we love each other as Christ loved us. Let me give you another one, another verse in Psalms chapter 16 and verse 3. Psalm 16 and verse 3. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Who do you delight in? Do we delight in the same thing that God delights in? You know, when He looks at each of us, He delights in us. He delights in you. He delights in me. What does that mean? That means that He prefers us. That means that His thoughts are many about you. That He cares what you're doing. He cares where you're going. He cares how you feel. He wants good things to happen in your life. And when the bad things happen, He wants to raise you up from that. He wants to be there for you. You've seen family members at a funeral, right? A lot of times, it's not like this every time, but usually at the funeral of a parent, the siblings will come together despite their differences because they're suffering the same loss. You know, that's how we should feel. That's what the Scripture tells us, that when one of ours falls, that we all feel the pain. Like the Scripture will say, bear ye one another's burdens. You know, you're only going to bear the burden of somebody that you love. You're not going to do it just because I feel generous today. You're going to do it because you care about them. Even if you don't see them all the time, we probably should see each other more. But you would delight in them. You want to be around them. I mean, just think about whenever you were, sporting with your spouse before you were married. Did you delight in that person? Did you want to be around them? I can remember, of course, you know, I go to my military life a lot. I can talk about it. I can't talk about you guys as much, and y'all probably get mad at me if I talked about you. But I can remember, it was before the days of cell phones, if that's even possible for some of you younger people, that I would write a letter at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. I would write a letter to Joy. You know, she was whom I delighted in back a few years ago. And as I'm going through all my training, I wanted a letter from her. And I would take that letter. A lot of times we'd get the mail and I wouldn't be able to read it. Sometimes she'd send me like two or three letters at once. I'm like, whew, I'm rich today. They can't give me enough money to compare to this. And I'd put them, we had those big cargo pockets. I would put them in those cargo pockets. And then if I can ever get a chance, you know, sometimes while we would sit in line waiting for lunch for about an hour, you know, we're sitting there, I would sneak one out, open it. I'm supposed to be studying, but I would read one of those letters. Or I was supposed to be taking notes on my book, and I would write a letter back to her. I don't even remember what those things said. But they meant enough that I kept them. I still have those letters because I delighted in that. We're supposed to delight in each other like that because we care about each other, because we love each other the way God tells us that we're supposed to. That's what we're supposed to do. You know how you care about people like that? You're thinking about them regularly. When you pull out your prayer list, their names are on it. You look at that thing regular, often. Every chance you get, you're thinking about them. You're praying for them. Do we do that? Or is it just a casual, you know, while Sister Kelly and Sister Betty's playing, you know, I just walk around, you know, I shake the hands. That's all the thought that I give to those people that week. Is that it? You know, in many churches, that's it. Some of them don't even do that. They're like, oh, that, you know, that takes too much time away from the preacher. Let me tell you, what goes on up here isn't nothing compared to the love that you can have for each other. The way that you can demonstrate to this world that there is a God and He loves people. By the way that you act and respond to each other. There's no greater witness. There's no greater testimony. You can hear me all day long and it wouldn't change a thing. But you love on somebody and it can change their world. Do you realize that? If you're expecting the best preaching to come from up here to change the world, let me tell you, it's not going to happen. Because if it had happened, D.L. Moody would have changed it. He's a much better preacher than me. Adrian Rogers would have done it because he's a better preacher than me. But it wasn't. The one who changed the world was Jesus Christ, because he loved on 12 people. One of them even betrayed him. But he loved him anyway. And Jesus said, just like I've loved on you 12 guys, I need you to love on each other just like that. Don't get lost in thinking who's better or who's worse. Don't get lost in thinking about all this junk that this world provides. You need to love each other like I've loved you. Delight in each other. Care about each other, what they're going through. Just like John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. You know, that verse has become so casual to us that we don't even understand kind of what it means, I think. That God delighted in me. He cared about me. He wanted me to be able to spend some time with Him. So He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him, believe that He loved them, that would believe that He cared about them, I'll give them eternal life because I delight in them. And I want them to love each other just like I love this world. I was willing to give, my son was willing to give his life for this world. Christian, is it worth living? To love other Christians worth it? If the Holy Spirit's inside of you, you're okay with it. You understand that. But if there's a struggle, I think that the problem's much deeper. We should be wanting to love each other. Look in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Y'all see why this message is hard? When you have scriptures like that, kindly affectioned, I looked it up. That means like parents love their children. That's what that means. Kindly affectioned. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. It means the mutual love of parents and children, wives and husbands, loving affection, prone to love, loving tenderly, chiefly of the reciprocal tenderness of parents and children. I'm like, Paul, why would you write a verse like that? It seems impossible to me. How do I love other people like I love those in my family? Here's how you do it. You look at them as your family. You see, so often we get so wrapped up in our own lives and our own family that we forget that there's other people out there, that they're really supposed to be your family. And you're supposed to be kindly affectioned to them. You're supposed to care about them just like you would for one of your children, or maybe if they were your parent, maybe even as a sibling. That's how much we should care about each other. And Jesus would say, by this shall the world know that you're a Christian, that you're my disciple. Are you interested in sharing with the world what you really believe? You see, we struggle with this. I struggle with this. Because this seems almost impossible. But that means that I need to humble myself. That means I need to shake the pride off of me. And I need to purify myself with God's gospel. With a regeneration that only comes through Jesus Christ. You know, we've sung that song on Sunday nights. If you haven't made it here on a Sunday night, we'll sing it eventually again. That it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but it's according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, we all have to have that as a major part of our life. Because naturally, I can't love like this. I can't. You know, you can try. You could try to maneuver yourself. But that kind of love only comes when you love Jesus Christ with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the Holy Spirit is moving through you in such a way that you've surrendered yourself to Him. And through you, Jesus Christ loves other people the way that He wants you to. He loves through you. You know, if you listen to this sermon on the radio, it would sound like a self-motivational one. Where you can do this, you can't. Churches can't love like this unless Jesus Christ is their all in all. That's the only way. The only way you can love another person the way this is telling you that you got, that you need to, the way Jesus' commandment, it's when the Holy Spirit is loving through you. You've got to be saved first. You've got to be born again. This type of love does not come naturally. Do you understand that? You can't motivate yourself like that. God has to do it through you. It requires that you surrender yourself to Jesus Christ 100%. Fully. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit. I'm going to stop right there just for a second. You see, if you're going to love the brethren or the sisterin the way that Jesus has commanded us to, you've got to do this first part. You have to have your soul purified in obeying the truth through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit there. He has to purify you. He has to take all the sin from you. He has to cleanse you. How does that happen? It happens when you agree with God about your situation. When you realize I'm a sinner. I'm a failure. And I give Jesus my life. I can't fix it. Lord, I need help. Will you fix it for me? Will you take away all this guilt? All this shame? Will you make me a new creature in you? Will you purify my soul? Because all my righteousness is as a filthy rag. I need your righteousness through me. I need to be washed by your blood. I need to be reasoned with. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to purify your soul by obeying the truth of the Spirit. and be washed by Jesus Christ's regeneration in your life unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. You see, when I do that, it doesn't matter what you look like, the color of your skin, where you've come from. It's an unfeigned love of the brethren. I can remember days when I wished that there was another Christian around and I didn't know of any that I worked with. And then I would meet somebody and they believed in the Bible and they believed in Jesus Christ as the only begotten of the Father. And immediately we were friends and we enjoyed each other's company. We longed for that. We wanted to make opportunities to be able to talk with each other. That's what the church has got to look like. If it doesn't, we'll start looking like some of those churches in the book of Revelation. God will pick, He'll remove those candlesticks. You must have love one for another. And I believe God's moving. I believe He's talking to some people in our day and time. But at the same time, He's removing places that they have forgotten God's love for each other, the love that they're supposed to have. See that ye love one another with a pure heart. What does He say? Fervently. See, we miss out on that. And I know I do the same thing. I'll go through this through my Bible, and I love reading the Scriptures. And I want to understand, you know, the hardest and the deepest parts. I desire that. And the Scripture even says that you should desire that, that the Spirit does desire to know the deep things of God. And then this week I saw this passage. And this is, I think, one of the deepest things that I've ever come across. And my spirit desires to understand it. And I don't. I don't understand how I can love the brethren like Jesus loved me. I just don't understand. But the Scripture also tells me that I'm not supposed to lean into my own understanding. But in all my ways, I'm supposed to acknowledge Him, and I let Him direct my path. So even though I may be a failure at this, I know that Jesus Christ is still working on me, just like that little kid's song used to say, that He can make me love you like I love my family. Scripture, He says He can make you love me like you love your family. He says that He can make you love each other like we each love our families. That's what Jesus wants us to do. That's His command for us to do. Fervently, unfeigned, undisguised, sincere. That's how we're supposed to love each other. So how does the world know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ? If you have love one for another. That's how. And I'm telling you, when the outside world sees that, sees what's going on with us in here, they'll want to be a part. They'll want to be a part. Because that's not going on out there. And it's not going on in most of the churches that you visit. You're like, Brother Mitch, how do you know that? Well, I've been to most of them. I've been to a bunch of them. All over this country, I've been to them. It's rare. You'll see little groups. They look like they love each other. I wish I could be a part of that group. And you'll see the preacher get jealous of that group over there. And he'll try to bust them up. Or somebody will get jealous of the group and they'll cause a problem. I'm telling you, we're supposed to love each other. People should want other people to love them. Don't be afraid of pain. Don't be afraid of hurt. Don't be afraid of Jesus Christ using you to show the world that you're a disciple of His. Don't be afraid of that. If the song leader and the pianist would come, let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to ask that you forgive me of failing in this command. Make me better. Help me to understand it. Help me to see it. Help me to show it. Be with your people, Lord. This world needs others to show that there's still real love out there. Pure love. That comes only from your Holy Spirit living through your people. Raise us up, Lord, to be like you. Help us to love each other the way that you loved us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.